انت بتسمع تسعينات اف ام، اجمل ذكريات.
In our world, we have different languages, cultures, skin colors, ethnicities, and religions. United States and Egypt are two rich communities with huge diversity in all aspects. However, difference should not be a reason to fight, disrespect, or exclude each other. Difference can be intriguing, provoking interesting discussions. Here with you, Rama, in Compelling Difference on Radio 90s FM.
Compelling Difference مع رحمة ليل كل يوم اثنين الساعة 10:30 بالليل على تسعينات FM.
Hello everyone and welcome to the last episode of Compelling Difference. Here with you today, Rama on Radio 90s FM. If you want to call us or contribute to the program, please call us on 01000-427894. You can also send us a WhatsApp message through the same number. You can also contribute to the program by answering the question of today's episode, which is, how did you feel after coming back to Egypt following a long trip abroad? So, in our last episode, we have discussed the benefits of exchange programs. We have discussed myths and facts about immigration. And we have also discussed stuff about notable Egyptian Americans. In our season, we have discussed a variety of topics from culture shock, coexistence and diversity, money, different schools, college and college life, dating, family structure, feminism, work environment, misconceptions, and influential Egyptian Americans. In today's episode, we will discuss reverse culture shock. So basically, reverse culture shock is as hard as the culture shock that happens to you when you first immigrate or when you first go to a new society. So, however, unlike culture shock, reverse culture shock is a reaction to returning home after spending long time abroad. So it's as hard as your initial adjustment, and it's as hard as culture shock, and it also takes time. So during this period, you might feel like none understands you, wanting to be alone, ruthlessness, restlessness, boredom, depression, and uncertainty, and reverse homesickness. It's very expected to feel bored because after all the excitement and challenges of going abroad, you basically have a life that's like a routine or an old routine. However comforting and nice it was, you would still need some excitement and some challenges to feel as excited as before. You might also feel like none understands you because you have been abroad for a long time. So you have changed, your family and friends have changed, your home country has changed. So basically, you would feel like none can understand you or relate to whatever you're saying about the stories abroad. So with reverse homesickness, you start missing the country you travel to, and you start feeling like you want to go back to this country more than you want to come back to your even home country. And all of these feelings happen through stages. So the first stage of reverse culture shock is the disengagement and departure. At this stage, you basically remember all the disadvantages of your time abroad, and you basically prepare yourself mentally, physically, and at all levels to go back home. You basically start thinking about making plans with family and friends in your home country, and you basically feel all the excitement in the world to go back. The second stage after coming back to your home country is feeling euphoric. It's called the honeymoon phase. During the honeymoon phase, you feel the excitement of going back. You feel excited to share your stories with your family and with your friends. And you are so eager to apply whatever you have learned abroad in your home country. You also have a mixed language or a mixed way of talking. So you basically talk with your home tongue and with the language you have learned abroad. At the third stage, and this is the hard one, you feel like an alien. You discover the truth. And the truth is, the euphoria is gone. All the stories are told. You feel like a foreigner in your home country because you have changed. Your family and friends have changed, and your home country even has changed. And you also feel shocked when you know that you will not be able to apply whatever you have learned abroad right away. You will feel like you are not be able to learn all what you have learned abroad as fast paced as you thought you would. So you basically feel frustrated. After a while, and after interacting with your home country for a longer time, the fourth stage comes, which is gradual readjustment. At this stage, you realize that your home country is not as bad as you thought, and you start building and adopting a new routine that fits your home country, and you start having a mixture of beliefs, ideas, values, principles, and basically you start having your own attitude towards things in a mixture of ways between what you have been raised doing and what you have learned abroad. So basically, we come to the fifth stage, which is making tough decisions. At this stage, I basically think that you wouldn't get the whole experience of traveling abroad till you come back to your home country. So at this stage, you basically start making tough decisions like whether you want to travel abroad again or not, whether you want to settle down in your home country or not, and you start thinking of whether you should keep a large circle, a big circle of friends or not. So basically, your circle of friends will be filtered to contain a few of your friends who are in your home country and a few of your friends abroad. So at this stage, you start making the tough decisions. So let's hear some funny examples about Egyptians going through reverse culture shock. But we will learn this when we're back.
I know you're somewhere out there, somewhere far away. I want you back, I want you back. My neighbors think I'm crazy, but they don't understand. You're all I have, you're all I have. At night when the stars die, myself talking to the moon, trying to get to you, in hopes you're on the other side, talking to me too. I'm famous, the talk of the town. They say I've gone mad, yeah, I've gone mad. But they don't know what I know, 'cause when the sun goes down, someone's talking back. Yeah, they're talking back. Talking to the moon, trying to get to you, in hopes you're on the other side, talking to me too. Oh, am I a fool who sits
to the moon. Do you ever hear me calling? Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause every night I'm talking to the moon. Somewhere out there, somewhere far away.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Compelling Difference with Rama. So basically, if you are an Egyptian going to the United States for a long time, then you are coming back to Egypt, you are very expected to go through reverse culture shock. And you would feel this reverse culture shock once you step in the airport. So basically, you will find people offering to help you and to carry your luggage. And you basically think they are doing this out of being nice. However, they are doing this because you want tips. So you should decide whether or not you want their help. And also, a second thing for reverse culture shock is the weather in Egypt is very hot. So if you are in, if you come from a cold state to Egypt, you will be very surprised about how warm Egypt is. And you might need time to decide what to wear and what not to wear. You also will not have you will not have someone waiting for you inside the airport. Unlike airports in the US, there are no waiting areas for the returnees inside the Egyptian airports, mainly Cairo Airport. So you will have to go outside the airport to find the people who will come to wait for you. So another thing for going through a reverse culture shock is that you will be too independent to fit in the Egyptian society. So when you're living abroad, you basically, you might have been living in your own bedroom, and you might be living with your friends. However, coming back home, you will be living with your parents with no privacy at home, and you would try to collaborate with your mom in the housework, and she would be like, oh, don't help me. So you will be too independent to fit in the Egyptian community. Another thing is that you need to get used to is that Egyptians are always late. So I mentioned that before in the culture shock episode. And when I come back to Egypt, I was always on time, while my friends or whoever I'm meeting wouldn't come late or even cancel at me the very last minute. And this is actually a common thing that Egyptians do. Another thing is that public transportation in Egypt is 24/7. Unlike the United States, and or unlike New Jersey, I was in New Jersey, I would have to Uber everywhere I'm going to. However, in Egypt, I find it pleasant that there are 24/7 transportation system instead of Ubering everywhere. Another thing is the Egyptian food. Actually, when I came back to Egypt, I found my mom like cooking all the food that I love. So after years of American food, I was very surprised to see how many calories are in Egyptian food. My personal experience was that, as I mentioned, is gaining weight after coming back to Egypt because I was eating all everything that I was deprived of when I was abroad. Another thing is crossing the road. Crossing the road is a whole other level in Egypt because we actually don't have like bridges for pedestrians everywhere. So basically, you will have to cross like a highway on your own, and it wouldn't be considered as a jaywalking. So in America, crossing the road is safer than it is in Egypt. Here, you would actually need to ask someone to help you cross the road. And my personal experience with that, I was extremely terrified to cross the road. So basically, I would ask someone to help me, or I would wait for like 15 minutes before crossing the road, which was really funny. Another thing with the transportation is that if you are in America, you would be used to the buses having stops. But here in Egypt, buses don't actually have stops. You can ride on the bus wherever you want, whenever you want, and because there are no specific stops. So this is actually an alien concept to Egyptians living in America. And unlike the benefits of going to study abroad, people find it really hard to get a job when they are coming back, because if you are a woman in engineering, for example, I had a big problem with companies and business owners asking for male engineers instead of women engineers. So basically, I would look for jobs, but the job description only asks for males, which was ridiculous. Another thing is, you might be so overqualified for some positions that the employer might be concerned about hiring you, because at the end of the day, they want someone to get this job done with the least money possible. Another thing that you might encounter when you are coming back home is that your interview performance would be different, because you would be used to the way of dressing, an example, in America, while here in Egypt, the way of dressing for an interview might be a little bit different. And also, you will have an experience about a work environment that's very different from the work environment in your home country. So you will basically struggle to convince the employer or the HR to hire you. Another thing would be your point of references. Your point of references will be actually people that you have dealt with abroad. So it will be really hard to convince the HR or your employer that these point of references would actually be able to recommend you for the new position back home. So many people reported difficulty landing a job when they come back to their home country. And also, the people when they come back to their home country, they lose their freedom. America is called the land of the free. However, Egypt is more conservative. So you will definitely lose that freedom when you come back to Egypt, because people in Egypt sometimes judge each other based on the customs and the traditions. And this is actually changing slowly. However, it's still there, unfortunately. And this is something that you need to adapt to. Another thing that you might lose when you come back to Egypt is your privacy. You might find people or like family and friends asking you, oh, so when are you getting married? When are you having a job? So you might find strangers asking about your salary, your future plans, your marital status. Again, communities are just different, and people in Egypt tend to be very nosy sometimes, but actually we Egyptians kid about it. We have fun about it. If you are a girl in Egypt deciding to live alone, you would have a very hard time, because you will lose your freedom in terms of what's appropriate to wear and what's not appropriate to wear. In addition, people would start wondering, why are you living alone? Why did you leave your parents' house? And they will come up with theories about the situation and whether your excuse to live alone is convincing for them or not, even if they have nothing to do with you living alone. So the theories might even go beyond that, and you would start asking questions about how your family raised you, of course, in a negative way. So basically, you, as you go day by day in Egypt, you would encounter situations where you don't know what to do because you're going through a reverse culture shock, and it's very hard to talk about it because people in your home country wouldn't really relate to it and they wouldn't really understand what you're going through because they actually have their own problems, and they think you are very lucky. You went to America, you must have made lots of money, you must have made lots of friends. And yeah, this, it might be true in a sense that you made some money and you made some friends, but you are going through a reverse culture shock. You are trying to adapt back to your home country. You are suffering at a psychological level about what to do to overcome the reverse culture shock. So what is the solution for that? We will discuss more about it when we're back.
And the blood will dry underneath my nails, and the wind will rise up to fill my sails. So you can doubt and you can hate, but I know no matter I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming. Still far away from where I belong, but it's always darkest before the dawn. So you can doubt and you can hate, but I know no matter what it takes, I'm coming. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming. I'm coming home.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Compelling Difference with Rama. So we will start saying your answer to the question of today's episode. And the question was, what did you feel after coming back to Egypt following a long trip abroad? And we got some answers. Nada Ali commented saying, disappointed. I'm so sorry to hear that, Nada. Mohammed Sharaf commented saying, bittersweet. I see. Hannah Gerges commented saying, sad, I didn't want to come back. I'm so sorry to hear this, Hannah. Isra Abdul Muttalib commented saying, trapped and endangered. I'm so sorry to say it to, I'm so sorry that you have gone through this, Isra. And Iman Abdul Maqsood commented saying, mixed feelings. I felt happy to see my friends and family again, alhamdulillah, but also was missing the friends and places in New Jersey, which I called home for 3 years. And I can relate, Iman, because I had the same mixed feelings when I came back to Egypt, because, yeah, I had friends and family in Egypt, but I also had friends and family back in New Jersey. Karim Khalid commented saying, I was in the United States for 3 months and I had nostalgia several times and I was waiting the day to be back to Egypt, and I felt very happy when being back. I'm happy for you that you got over the culture shock period and the reverse culture shock period. So as we were talking before the break, how can we deal with the reverse culture shock? First of all, you need to understand that you're different and it's okay to be different, and you should be patient because it takes long time to readapt to your own culture again, and it takes almost a year to readapt again to your home country's culture. And actually, you should consider keeping a journal to write down your feelings and your reflections, because sometimes you might think your family and friends don't really understand what you're going through, and it's okay in a sense because they haven't gone through the same experience that you have gone through. So basically, you should keep your journal to reflect, and you can also talk to anyone like a therapist or something, because they would be able to help you better. You should also connect with the fellow study abroad alumni. You can connect with them via Skype or through video calls to share maybe funny stories about living abroad and funny stories about reverse culture shock incidents. You can also keep in touch with your friends back in the travel abroad country, because they might want to know how you're feeling when you're back home. You can also think of giving back to the community by applying the good values you have learned abroad. You can do this by being a peer mentor for the study abroad office in your home country. You can also be a program ambassador in your home country. So basically, you can apply what you have learned abroad in your home country, but it would take time, because when you try to change the way people think, they would actually resist it at first, but after a while, when they know that you want the best for them, and when they know that you actually know what you're doing, they actually listen to you and adapt. You can also explore your own country again with a different lens. For example, I loved Egypt more when I came back to Egypt after being in the United States for 4 years, because I started exploring Egypt with a different lens, because when I was in the US, for example, working in a lab, I used to have everything I wanted. But when I came back to Egypt and I worked in a lab, I found that I should actually invent new ways to work with the very small resources that I have. So everything has a good and bad. So maybe exploring your home country with a different lens would definitely help. My goal right now is to travel around Egypt, so in a month or something by driving. I know it might be crazy, but we will see. So we will now talk about final thoughts of compelling difference. So the first thing is, you shouldn't let the initial cultural shock in the US become a reason for you to stop being productive in your new community. US and Egypt represent a perfect example for coexistence, diversity, and variety. So you will definitely fit in both communities, even if this will take time. You also need to learn how to handle your finances to be able to get the full experience of your study abroad program. Another thing you can do is knowing that the dating culture is very different between the US and Egypt. However, cross-cultural dating is not something that's difficult to achieve, and it might work for some people. In conclusion, we have talked about reverse culture shock, stages of reverse culture shock, and some final thoughts. It was an honor being with you in Compelling Difference during the season, and I look forward to being with you again. Bye!